stress will leave you dead. Thankful to be alive, what I have learned and why. Friday I should have stayed in bed. Close your eyes and think of England. Lay back and take it. Close your eyes and feel alone. Close your eyes and think of England. Or you won't regret it. Tonight I won't be coming home.
Hello world. This is Chris Abalo's podcast experiment, and I am Chris Abalo. Welcome to the show, which is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of digital audiobooks with over 180,000 downloadable titles across all genres. They have everything you could be looking for. And for you, dear listener, Audible is offering you a free audiobook download and a free 30-day trial, so you can check out a book on them. And check out the service and see everything they have to offer. I just finished Bruce, the authorized biography of Bruce Springsteen, which was amazing. And, well, what can you expect? You know, we're both from, we grew up mere miles apart, albeit decades apart. But just the same, that was an incredible book. I absolutely recommend that. So audibletrial.com/cape. Get yourself a free audiobook of your choice. Start a free 30-day trial. And there you go. Get something for yourself this holiday season. And just a reminder, too, since it's the holidays, make sure you are clicking through the Amazon banner at chrisabalo.com and clear your cookies in your browser. Then you can click through when you go to chrisabalo.com and click support the show. Clear your cookies, click through the Amazon banner, bookmark that so every time you purchase from Amazon, Amazon gives us a little taste of your purchase. You don't pay a penny more, but they do give the show a small commission on your purchases. And listen, if you're checking out this show, well, we all know what this week is. Black Friday and Cyber Monday is coming, and you want to take advantage of all the possible sales, and you want the fastest shipping. So if you don't already have Amazon Prime, you can get a free 30-day trial of Amazon Prime, too, by clicking through that link at chrisabalo.com. Same thing, chrisabalo.com. Support the show. And you can start a free 30-day trial of Amazon Prime on top of streaming thousands upon thousands of movies and tons of music, original content. Everybody's buzzing about Transparent, and season 2 is on the way. You can check that out through Amazon Video. But most importantly, this time of year, Amazon Prime gives you free 2-day shipping. And if you live in a city like Los Angeles, for instance, certain purchases are eligible for free 1-day shipping or free same-day shipping. By 8 o'clock, imagine that. You order something in the morning, by 8 o'clock it's at your door if you have Amazon Prime. So free 30-day trial. Take advantage of that. So everything you're going to order, come on, it's a month until all the major holidays are coming. Take advantage of free shipping for the next month. Go for it. So click through the Amazon Prime link as well at chrisabalo.com. And help me to welcome back once again to the show for, Jesus, probably the 5th time by now. It's been a while. Lauren Sperling.
Hi.
Welcome
Thanks
back.
Thanks for having me back.
Of course.
I think it is 5 number time.
I think it's 5. I'm trying to think. You're on twice with April.
5 number time.
You're on once with me and Candace, and then Javier. So yeah, this is the 5th time.
Yeah.
I think so.
I just chose to say that really
that's
weird.
That's all right. It's 5 time number.
Like, that's I know English.
It's the Yoda influence. That's what it is. Everybody's.
They're so close.
We talked about that last week.
I started a new job today and I was like, sorry, I'm not going to be here that Friday night. I canceled cabaret for that week.
Oh, really? Oh, you're not going Thursday night? You're not going immediately?
No, we failed. I don't know.
You know, the movie's going to be out for like at least 12 weeks.
Yeah, and I was super busy with most of the people I'm going with were in rehearsal at the same time. Mm. And so like a couple months ago now, like 4 of us did a Star Wars marathon.
Oh, nice.
The 6 that are out. And so it was just kind of like someone from that group, the one of us that was not either in rehearsal or on set, group message and was like, guys, oh, let's get Star Wars tickets and that night. And so he just got it for us. And
oh, nice.
So we were able to get them for Friday night, which is fine.
It's fine.
I will live through the night and just not go on social media for that, 24 hours.
That's one of the things I talked about last week with Sherry, was how I get the anticipation because it's been 10 years since the last one and it's been 30 years since the last good one.
Yeah.
So I get that part of it. But it's all, as far as wanting to see it as soon as possible, because Star Wars fandom is, every day, it's at its peak.
Yeah.
You know, just as well, leading up to this movie.
My friend who got the ticket said it perfectly yesterday. He's like, this is the biggest movie event of my generation.
Ever so far.
Ever so
far. I mean, literally. Yeah. It's going to be tough for another movie to surpass it.
Yeah.
Even other Star Wars movies, because there's a lot riding on this movie.
This is going to make or break everything.
But the social media part of it is like, we live in such a, there's some weird, there are a lot of trolls who just want to ruin things for everybody, you know?
Yeah.
And it's as soon as any kind of event movie comes out, people are tweeting out spoilers, using the hashtag. So anybody who's genuinely looking for things gets stuff ruined.
Yeah. Or even just people excited about it, wanting to figure out, oh, why did this happen? Why did that happen? But not thinking, oh, maybe I should censor myself for people scrolling through.
Yeah. Could you imagine not everybody saw it at the same time I did?
Yeah. What?
It's weird.
We can't all be in the same place at the same time doing the same thing.
It makes me laugh. Like even years ago, while I was still out here and friends of mine in New Jersey, like watching The Walking Dead or something. Granted, I don't watch it, but people would be posting in, like, as soon as the episode was over, OMG, I can't believe so-and-so died. And I'm like, you only have friends in your region who are all watching the show at the same time.
I mean, I try to do that. I try not to do that, even for things that have been out for a long time. Like,
totally.
It was just yesterday or today. I was just normal scrolling through Facebook day, and I still haven't watched the finale of How I Met Your Mother. And I wasn't even trying to really read the status, but for some reason my brain was processing what it was saying, and it was a spoiler about the finale. And I stopped before the end, but I was like, I understand that I am behind the times, but just don't post spoilers of anything ever.
I've talked about this with friends a bunch of times. I'm like, what do you think the embargo should be? They're like, never. I'm like, well, there's a point where everybody at this point knows about the Sixth Sense.
You post a status saying, hey, has anybody seen this thing? I have a question. And then go into it in the comments.
Oh, you want people to be courteous online. That's so cute.
I know, right?
You expect people are going to be respectful of other people.
Naive.
It's funny. Well, like, that was the cool thing once upon a time. Like, I was in high school when The Sixth Sense came out, and it was like everybody went to see it. Everybody kept the secret. Like, nobody ruined it. Which, I mean, that was something very much of the era. And unfortunately, that's over.
Yeah.
I mean,
now it's everybody wants all the details right now, which is like everything I don't know, you had this conversation last week, probably.
Yeah.
But with everything that's just every day being released about Star Wars.
Yeah, exactly.
New article every day. Oh, such and such. Oh, the history of
Kylo's plot details.
Lightsaber and this and that. I'm like, I don't want to know because I want to see the movie.
But
I don't want to watch the movie.
I don't know if anyone really knows. Like, it's been so, I mean, look.
I haven't read the articles because I don't want to even take a chance that.
Well, oh, totally.
It's
no,
true,
I get that part.
I want to.
But I think everything's
surprised.
Been so incredibly under wraps with regard to that. Because it might sound like I'm doing a 180 from the ranting I did last week, but it's just about fandom, not about Star Wars in and of itself, just the rampant fandom. But after the Age of Ultron trailer leak, you know, and then they ended up releasing it officially. It's incredible that last big Star Wars trailer didn't leak before that Monday Night Football game. So they've really stepped up security and kept everything very much under wraps.
Yeah.
Supposedly all the toys that have been released are only characters from the first act.
Oh.
So there's a lot of stuff they're trying to be tight-lipped about.
That's good, but...
sure there's a lot. And everyone's like, where's Luke? It's like, you know, you're not supposed to know that, right? Like,
right.
all the stuff people are putting into it.
That's what the movie is for, is to tell you that, not the internet.
Totally. Well, it's like, how much do you want to know? Like, someone put together and... I mean, God forbid I should ever have this kind of time, but someone put together, I think it was posted on or originated at Ain't It Cool News, like a 5-minute cut of every single bit from all the TV spots and trailers showing every piece of footage. And people are like, we got 5 minutes of footage from the new Star Wars movie. I'm like, who cares? That gives you nothing.
Yeah, no.
Nothing. It's cool images.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, not to be that guy, but the Phantom Menace trailer made Phantom Menace look awesome too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the whole point. Yeah. They want you to buy the ticket to go see the movie.
That's what trailers are for. Half the time, they put things in the trailers that don't even end up in the movie.
I know.
Nowadays.
Which pisses me off.
Or they'll make the production write specific lines or shoot specific things for the trailers that have nothing to do with the film, that change the way the film appears.
Yeah. Seeing your Spider-Man tattoo, I'm reminded of one of my problems with Amazing Spider-Man 2, among the many, was there was a line that Harry says to Peter, where it's just like, Oscorp's been following you, Peter. Why? Isn't that the million-dollar question? That suggests a whole plot that isn't in the movie, because that line wasn't in the movie at all. And I'm like, what? That's something that just, like a teaser or there was, when I heard, very little good about Fantastic Four, but like that big thing that ended every single ad for it with the thing dropping out of whatever and landing with its big thud wasn't in the movie at all.
Oh, really?
So so there's stuff that you figure is probably placed in there for the sake of, getting asses in the seats, but I'm with you. I don't want to know.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much that I feel like it's just, everyone, in a case like this, everyone wants to know as much as possible because they're so anxious for it. But at the same time, you got to hang back and let it kind of be what it is. Like, enjoy it.
It'll be so much more exciting if you don't know what's coming.
Yes. I'm with you. That's what I want to know, too. I mean, it's different. And actually, it's funny. Going back to Avengers for a second. I had a friend who, it must have been a year after. I think it was like 2013. He's like, all right, finally going to watch Avengers. Like, he didn't see it in the theater. I guess he had the DVD or whatever, and he was watching it. And he finally posted on Facebook. He's like, a little late, but I'm finally getting around to Avengers. And then, his next post was like, wow, Robin Sparkles is in this movie? I'm like, wow, you were really outside. If you didn't even know, she was
she was even cast.
Totally. She was one of the main, it's not like she was a passing cameo. She was a character in, 60% of the movie.
Yeah.
So I was like,
that's really funny.
On the one hand, I'm like, asshole was just like, oh man, you're just getting to Avengers now. But on the other side of it, I'm like, wow, good for you that you were that in the dark about it. Like,
yeah.
I kind of admire that.
Yeah.
Because I don't, just to be that kind of oblivious of them, like, Avengers, look at everyone's going to be there. And then to wait a year to see it, all the more reason I'm like, wow. But yeah, it's totally the minority. But with regard to fandom, you just took quite a European jaunt.
Yeah.
As we teased a couple of weeks ago when you were last on the show.
I laugh because when I got back, I was at the theater this last weekend and my friend Michael was asking me how the trip was. And I was like, oh, it was really awesome. It was really cool. And he's like, yeah, it was, seemed like awesome if you were nerdy. And I was like, yeah, I did a lot of nerdy things.
You did.
But it was awesome for me. So
a
lot of people were like, oh, what'd you see? I didn't see a lot of monuments and churches. And stuff. We did go to some, but not the typical.
You weren't doing a full, the average touristy thing.
Correct.
You were going, primarily
I was doing
it was
the nerdy touristy things.
And that was really the reason for going though, right?
Yeah. Pretty much... I mean, the whole reason for going was we got tickets to see Benedict Cumberbatch play Hamlet. So Sherlock.
Yeah.
And theater.
Who
Which
wouldn't?
On the trip, we went to Notre Dame and we're in line to get in and there were Americans behind us. And we brought up that fact that that's why we were there. And she turns to Shannon and I, she's the same age as me, and goes, oh, aren't you a little young for Shakespeare? And both of us were like, what does that even mean?
Yeah.
How are you too young for Shakespeare? We were both, art majors of some sort in college.
But I'm thinking,
you learned Shakespeare
freshman year of high school.
My first Shakespeare experience was in third grade.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we did a California filmed version of Macbeth. It was weird, but
first exposure may have been that Hamlet scene in Last Action Hero. But anyway, but properly reading and learning, it was probably freshman year of high school.
Yeah.
You certainly look older than 13. I mean,
we're it was the two of us by ourselves.
Right.
We were that young, I don't know.
It's not like this woman's crouching
down. Why would
down,
we like, ourselves at Notre Dame?
Yeah.
If we were too young for shit, I don't know.
That's so weird.
It was so weird.
Too young for shit. Okay. Yeah. That's such a weird statement.
It was very bizarre. I don't know.
Huh. And did you say this woman was American or no?
She was, yeah.
She was.
They were actually from San Diego.
What the hell?
And her daughter went to my college.
Not weird.
But years before I did, but I was,
That's such a weird statement.
Yeah.
Too young for shit. Like for someone who clearly in her 20s.
Yeah. I don't know. It was weird.
I mean, you know, who would have known you've done theater and had plenty of experience? But I mean,
yeah.
Who cares? It's still Benedict Cumberbatch. Who doesn't want to see that?
True. Oh my God. Which that he was great. He was so good.
I have no doubt. They had it here. I think it was one night.
They showed it in cinemas. Yeah. I almost watched it because it was a week or so before I left. And I thought about going just because our seats were second from the top.
Oh, okay. But
it was actually really cool. The way the theater was set up, it was a lot more, the seats were a lot more vertical than I find theaters in the States, which if you're in the back row, top balcony, you're pretty far away from the stage.
Right.
Where we were just kind of above
the stage.
So the
venue
was
like taller.
It was taller as opposed to deeper. Yeah.
I gotcha.
So I didn't need binoculars. And it was just two rows in the last balcony. So I just sat with my hands on the, you know, the balcony bar. And it was obscured. I can't speak tonight.
What's happening? I thought you said you just
know.
Had coffee.
I did just have coffee, but
it'll kick in.
Things
we'll get
happening
it going.
In my brain.
You just sat there like that hard eyes emoji, just watching Benedict.
Yeah, I mean,
it's like every other woman who's enraptured by him.
It was really funny because we did Hamlet at the theater, oh my God, almost 2.5 years ago.
Really?
It's insane to think, yeah. Bree, who just wrote and directed Hammer of the Witches.
Yes.
And is starring in Christmas is Dead now. She directed Hamlet and was Ophelia. And I...
In a loft production.
In a loft production.
Cool.
Yeah. And I was understudy for her since she was directing. So I also played Ophelia. And it was very interesting because Shannon, who came on the trip with me, before the words came out of my mouth, said how much Benedict reminded her of the guy who played our Hamlet, which is what I felt. They felt very similar in their portrayal.
And now having seen it in
person.
Which
was cool to see.
Yeah.
It was really cool to see. But I also, the theater nerd inside of me, was very constructive in my brain about the performance, about the show as a whole. Because I did love him and I thought he was brilliant, but I was like, oh, there's interesting things. Having done the show myself, different cuts that were made or how things were interpreted or this or that. Because they had a very interesting take on it aesthetically and some different things that they implemented with it. So I hope they bring it back to theaters because I would love to see it and get that more up close.
Right. Well, view. See, that's, since they film them properly, even though it's very much a play, it's still cut together like a movie with various angles.
Yeah.
So you're still going to get perspective-wise, you're going to get another look at it. Plus, it's a separate performance, so those nuances
True.
Change.
Exactly. That's the beauty of live theater.
Yeah, the fun of life.
But it was cool.
I'm sure it's going to come on DVD. Someone's going to put it out.
I hope so.
It will. It's going to get released.
I hope so.
I think a lot of those end up eventually.
Yeah.
I mean, or it'll be on like on demand or something, so you'll be able to see it.
Yeah,
you know, you may
like,
not be able
like
to own
some
it.
Some streaming service.
Totally. Someone's going to get hold of it.
I think it's like Theater Now or something like that. That they'll occasionally put things
like
that on.
Did you see? I'm not a fan of. I don't need to preface this, but I'm saying it anyway. I'm not a fan of Ben Stiller. And I barely made it through Zoolander. But did you see the Zoolander 2 trailer that just came out?
No, I didn't, but I heard he's in it.
He's in it,
yeah.
And he has no eyebrows and long hair.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
You wouldn't know it was him.
That's funny.
It was pointed out, and I follow Empire Magazine on Twitter.
Okay.
And they had a still from it. And I was looking, I was like, holy shit, it's Benedict Cumberbatch. Like, look, you wouldn't have known, but because they pointed it out, I'm like,
that
oh, wow,
him.
It's him.
That's
like,
funny.
It's weird. I mean, because the long hair is probably was a prosthetic. I doubt he shaved his eyebrows.
Oh, yeah, no.
I mean, I'm sure he would.
Yeah.
If he came down.
Well,
he's just that
it was
dude.
Funny because we saw the show closing night, and the next day was when the set picture, or the day after, like 2 days after, was when the set picture of him for Doctor Strange came out.
Oh.
And he's all scraggly in that.
Right.
Which, spoilers, is all fake.
That's
because we
saw
him the day before and he has his normal haircut, shaved face. Like, but it looks real. It looked real. It looked like it was thrown out in real scruff and stuff. But yeah.
There's a lot. I mean, apparently that doesn't surprise me because what I've heard about Doctor Strange, and I only know movie wise, I don't know from the book, but from what I've heard in the book, or at least how the progression goes in him becoming Doctor Strange, is that he goes through various phases from being like a high class surgeon and whatnot,
okay,
into going through these periods of like, oh, let's say like Bruce Wayne did in Batman Begins kind of thing, where like he's out searching for whatever, and he's, you know, kind of isolated himself. And yeah. I mean, I don't know 100% how the story goes, but apparently, yeah, I wouldn't expect him to embody all the different looks he's going to have.
Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of that is all makeup, prosthetics, and probably and prosthetic beards.
Speaking of, I had things a little, not spoiled, but the magic was a little, broken on the trip. Not in a bad way necessarily, just I wasn't expecting wigs. And speaking of wigs and such, when we went to Leaves Den, the Harry Potter, we did the WB studio tour there, and all the characters, wigs and hair and everything was there. Even the ones that, like, I thought Daniel Radcliffe and all of them had their own hair, but there were wigs for them. Huh. Unless, I mean, I guess it could have been for doubles or anything like that, but...
Or stand-ins.
Wigs, yeah.
You know, for shooting, you know, whoever, like, you know, for coverage for another character.
Yeah.
You know, just to have somebody else from
behind. I mean, I expected Dumbledore and Sirius and Bella I would to hope all have Hagrid. Wigs and Hagrid.
The frizziest hair at Hogwarts.
Yeah. But to have, like, the main three have wigs, I thought was interesting.
That's interesting. I mean, I guess it's practical, too, because, I mean, I know that was the big thing, like, when Emma Watson cut her hair.
Yeah.
And it was a big deal, but it's like, you don't understand. I couldn't change my look for the last 10 years. So yeah. I just wanted to do something.
Yeah.
But I'm sure they had those, like, kind of contingencies for, it's funny, too, because I didn't know a Whovian friend of mine was actually telling me about it, and we'll certainly get around to Dr. Who in a second. it's another one of those times you're just lighting up with yeah, that geek glow.
I was a five-year-old for most of this trip. Like, I cried. Yeah.
For the last, I'm not sure how many episodes, but for the final few episodes of Matt Smith's run as a doctor, because he'd shaved his head for the Ryan Gosling movie Lost River, which he was in, and I didn't know he wore a wig, and that was one of the definitive features of the 11th
hair.
Doctor was the swoop.
That's how you cosplay him.
You
have to have the hair.
You have to have that swoop. And apparently that was, he had a piece on for that because his head was shaved, and I didn't know.
Even looking at it,
I was like, wow, look at that. Yeah. You would have, like, watching, I mean, having seen, I mean, I've seen the regeneration clip just for curiosity and, you know, because of how serious, you know, people get when they spend days in bed crying after every regeneration. I just want to see it because the clip was up on, like, the BBC YouTube channel, like, the day after it aired.
Okay.
So I watched it and I was just like, you would totally not know. But it's one of those things where, like, I think that stuff has gotten better now,
totally.
Especially with HD.
Yeah.
Because you watch, like, I saw the Back to the Future marathon last month. And I'm sure with the special effects and the various makeup, the first one mostly Doc Brown, because obviously he aged a little bit in 1985. And it's those and some of the optical effects are more noticeable because the image is sharper because of HD.
Yeah.
But it was probably a softer image 30 years ago.
True.
But now it's a bit more noticeable. So I think with the progression of HD, I think now it's like, no, everything needs to, even though the camera still only sees in two dimensions, you still need to, it needs to really be that much better.
That's why a lot of, just having worked on the backlot, they've had to come up with a lot of new ways of making the facades and stuff.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the fiberglass doesn't look real in HD anymore.
Yeah.
So
you can't just have that painted background.
You're trying to make it look as real as possible. So they're having to come up with new techniques and stuff. So I think, and the same is for hair and makeup as well, and prosthetics and stuff. So, and creatures.
Mm. But, I mean, it's great because the stuff needs to be just that much better.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's almost like older stuff might be more distinguishable when it gets that, you know, bright new,
totally.
High definition shine
weird
to it.
Weird watching it on like smart TVs and stuff.
It is, because there's something
that are not shot that way.
I was talking years ago with a friend of mine who I was living with out here back in 06 and 07. And we were like, you know, it was before we had an HD, either of us had an HD TV or anything. We're like, we should just do like a VHS day. Let's just watch some of our old movies.
Oh my God. You know, I'm afraid to do that on my
even
TVs.
If we, but at the time, I mean, now it'd be like I have my GameCube hooked up since we're in my apartment. And I'm like, this works, but it doesn't look as good as it used to.
Yeah.
I mean, you can upgrade, you know, get component cable so that the image is better.
Yeah.
It's a little more clarity, but it's still not the same. That's there's kind of something lost along the way, as much just like, hey, it's digital. It looks brilliant, doesn't it? There's still something about like, yeah, but you're not as easily fooled.
Yeah, true.
You know. So hit up Leaves Den.
Yeah.
Highlights from seeing Harry Potter visiting. It's
my gosh.
What's the actual setup? I don't know how much it's going to mirror, or Universal here is going to mirror it, but what is the actual layout?
So the thing is that a lot of people, I feel like, and I know you probably know the difference, but a lot of people don't realize about it is that the Universal Harry Potter Wizarding Worlds are recreations, whereas Leaves Inn is the actual sets that were used for filming. Now, they moved them. They condensed them into just two sound stages and a small portion of the back lot because the rest of Leaves Inn is still a working studio, but you don't go to those portions like you do on the WB or Universal tours here.
Sure.
So it's condensed and is literally just Harry Potter. So it's not so much... It's not like necessarily in order of the movies or anything like that, but you pretty much, you come in, you go through Hogwarts. And so you see a lot of the sets from Hogwarts, the Great Hall and Dumbledore's office and the Gryffindor common room and boys' dormitory and things like that. And then you get into the Burrow. So they have a section of the Burrow. And before that, they have some of the classrooms as well, like the potions classroom.
And oh, sweet.
Stuff. And then they also break it down as you go throughout into departments. So there's a portion that's the green screen and shows you a little bit about visual effects versus practical effects. And then there's a whole section on creatures and prosthetics and makeup and stuff as well. So, and there's videos all around about making of and things like that. And you can get the audio guide that also has a bunch of interviews and behind the scenes and stuff of it, which I highly recommend because it's like, it's like £4 or something for the audio guide. And there's everywhere you go, there's a number of.
And you're free to roam? This isn't like a structured tour?
You're free to roam for the most part. Yeah, you're not with a tour guide.
Oh, nice.
You're not on a tram or anything like that. You just, it's broken down into sections. So once you get to the end of the first building, like you can't go back into it. So you can spend as much time. They recommend giving yourself about 3 hours. We were there for 5.5. probably could have been there longer. We did have lunch there though.
Did you have butter beer?
Take that long. Oh yeah. I had butter beer. Of course.
How was it? Describe it as best as you can.
Oh, it was so tasty. And
is it like butterscotch?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of watched her kind of make it. And I think it's similar to what I've used in the
past. Was it made in a cauldron?
My recipe. No, they had taps, but she combined multiple things.
Mm-hmm.
So
fancy.
Yeah, it's a two-part recipe, but I don't know the exact recipe. Well, I'm only guessing based on recipes I've used.
An elite few do.
Yeah.
I'm sure they don't want that out. I mean, there's a generic that I've gotten. I actually have a bottle on my, I think it's called like a Wicked Cauldron Butterscotch something or other.
Oh, in the bottle.
I have a bottle. Yeah, 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 they sell one. There's one that's commercially available.
Yeah,
it's not
they sell it all over the country.
It's not an authorized Harry Potter thing, but it's a concoction.
Yeah, I think they call it butterscotch beer.
I think it's butterscotch beer.
And their branding,
yeah. Yeah, it's cauldron or something.
Tastes similar like that.
Nice.
And then they top it with a nice cream, whipped cream top. It's tasty. But yeah, it was amazing how much stuff they have. Costumes, props, everything. I took so many pictures, just too many pictures. I think I took more pictures in that day than I took the rest of the trip. Like,
I believe it. Well, because you're on the set. I mean, how can you resist if you're a fan?
Yeah, I was just clicking away. And I mean, speaking of spoilers, the beginning of the tour, something happens. I'm not going to say it.
Okay.
For those who are fans that want to go and do it, but there's a big thing that happens at the beginning of the tour. And I sat there with my hands covering my mouth in awe, tearing up. And I just turned into a 5-year-old to the point where, like, we were all so excited. The three of us that went and we walked in because they just recently added the Hogwarts Express this year to the tour. And so we passed through the hallway and turned the corner to this mock platform with the Express on it. And just our faces lit up. And we saw this kid when we were in line that had a Harry Potter tour passport, and we're like, oh, that's cute. And I thought it was like a cover for his own passport, but it turns out it was a little like activity book thing, and you go throughout and you can get it punched like a passport at different stops,
different locations, right?
And the older guy that worked there came up to us and was like, oh, like, are you aren't going to get your passport stamped? We're like, oh, we don't have them, you know, I thought they were just for kids. And he's like, wait right here. And he went back and he got some. And then he realized that they didn't have the first three stamps in them. And we'd already passed that first checkpoint. So he was like, wait, no, hold on. And he came back and he got ones and he made sure they were stamped and he gave them to us. Like, he just saw how excited we were.
That's sweet.
And even though we were, you know, 24, 25, 26, we were bigger children than the children were.
Then the little kid who's just like, whatever.
Yeah. Because, I mean, there were little kids who were very excited. And now I guess they are growing up with them in the same way that we did. Mm-hmm. But literally, like, between the books and the movies, it was.
Yeah. I mean, in real time, that was a thing that I feel like. And that's one of the reasons I hate kids from today, because like when I, all right, well, just for the sake of argument, when we were growing up, it was like there was three Star Wars movies, there were three Indiana Jones movies. That was kind of it.
Yeah.
You know? There wasn't a whole lot. And now it's like you got Marvel, DC's coming up to varying degrees of excitement. There's Harry Potter. There's, you know, there have been all these other series where there's like there's a lot, not to the point where it's overkill, but like with everything now, you can find whatever you're into and there's a series for it. But well, with the book releases and the movie releases, there was that anticipation.
There's the anticipation. Whereas now it's now like it's all there. You can go through it and depending on your pace, like you can finish it in a week if you're that fast.
Oh yeah. I watched them in the course of a week.
Well, I mean, or maybe we did 10 days. All six Star Wars in one day.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think it clocks in at like, I think with stuff. Oh, who did it? Somebody posted something, or maybe it's a meme floating around online. It's like if you want to watch all the movies, they're like with I was like with bathroom breaks, food breaks, whatever. It clocked in at like 18 hours or something.
For
like
you're gonna Star give Wars,
time. Yeah, for all the movies.
Yeah,
because they're about 2.5 a piece, right?
Yeah.
So it's 15 hours.
We took a couple big breaks later on in the day. Yeah, we pushed through. We pushed through 4 and 5 pretty quickly.
Well,
because we started with 4.
Oh.
And 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, which
and
was a huge
still,
mistake.
You still watched 1, 2, 3.
Oh,
after
I
that.
Almost punched a wall because I hadn't watched the prequels before. I'd only watched 4, 5, 6.
Yeah. Oh man.
So I was so angry. I made everyone sit down and watch that video that was released at Comic-Con of like the behind the scenes of The Force Awakens with like the real puppets and all the practicals. And I was like, oh, okay, happy thoughts.
It's funny. I still have never finished episode 1. I couldn't get through episode 2, and my friends basically forced me to watch episode 3, and I was like, whatever. I mean, I like the original 3 movies. I'm not huge into it like people are, but I like it. And like, if I hear this new movie's good, I'm going to go see it, but I want to wait for the anticipation. Cause when episode 1 came out and people were just like, oh, it was awesome. But they were just happy to see a Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
And then it gradually became like, it's really not the movie I thought. So like I I've never seen a Star Wars movie in the theater. So
I haven't either.
I'm like, well, this would be the time, especially heading into a new era. But I'm like, I'm going to wait to see if it really is a good movie.
Yeah.
Because there's so, I mean, it's going to be tough to live up to the hype.
It's just, for me, it's just, anyway, like I said, it's one of those once in a lifetime events. So that's why I'm.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
That because like I didn't watch Star Wars until I was 17, I think.
Really,
when I first watched it.
Wow, how did you? I'm thinking era wise, like how you even lasted that without having seen it at some point.
I mean,
I saw it on VHS when I was like,
see, it
in
wasn't
second
something.
Grade, so I was 8, so 1990, I watched it.
I remember my dad going to see the prequels when they came out in the theaters. Same with Lord of the Rings. He went to see those. And I don't know. It didn't capture my interest until later. But we were doing a spoof of Star Wars at the summer camp I worked at.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, okay, I should probably
I need to be aware
know
of what's
I'm
going on.
Doing. I mean, I knew who everyone was.
Yeah,
you can't not know who Chewbacca is.
You know who Luke's father is.
Yeah. But yeah, so it wasn't, and I think that's the difference for me with Harry Potter is I didn't grow up with Star Wars in that sense. Like, I love it. R2-D2 is my phone case right now. I'm excited for the new movie. But it's not something that I've, you know, memorized every bit of trivia on.
Right.
Because I didn't grow up with it, but Harry Potter I literally grew up with since third grade. Like, we read the first book in third grade before the movie came out. And I grew up with it. And I think that's a big part of it for me.
Yeah.
Is that it's like, it's obviously not big. Been as big of in my life as it was for like Daniel Radcliffe and Emma Watson and them. Because they literally lived it. But it has. It's been my whole life. And especially now with camp and stuff, which we've talked about before, it's like so many of my friends, that's how I have my friends, because of the shared interest in this thing that became huge, that they weren't anticipating. They were into, they thought it was going to be a modestly large British film. And then it exploded. Yeah,
like, we better retitle this thing for the States.
Yeah.
Like, so, we get Philosopher's Stone. That makes no sense.
It's just magical. It's so magical. And I was so giddy. And
see, that I get.
See, this is how I describe it. Because I thought I was going to be so misty-eyed the whole trip. And like, like, Disneyland. I didn't cry at all. We went to Disneyland Paris to start. It was cool. But I didn't get as, like, emotionally excited as I thought. And but between Harry Potter and Doctor Who, my breath was taken away more with Harry Potter. Like, I would turn the corner and be like, oh my God,
right,
what's this thing? Oh my God. Oh, it's so cool. So beautiful. but I definitely cried more at the Doctor Who experience.
Did you? Let's talk about the Doctor Who experience. Because that's, is it locations? I mean, they
in a way. So they filmed Doctor Who primarily in Cardiff, Wales.
Yes.
You know, they'll go to London and stuff and around occasionally, but primarily they film in Cardiff, in Cardiff Bay. And that's where they have the Doctor Who experience, which is a, similar to Leavesden, but a bit different. It's definitely a lot smaller. But it starts out with an interactive experience.
Oh.
So you actually go on an adventure with the Doctor.
Nice.
And it's relatively new. I think it opened in 2012. So you're not at the studio where it's filmed, but they have stuff.
Right.
That has been used for filming.
And it's
you
Peter
can
Capaldi
see,
who's the doctor.
It is Peter Capaldi
with.
Now. It started off with Matt, I believe. He was the first doctor to
in
be on
12,
it.
Yeah.
But they changed it the last few months for Capaldi. And when you get there, you can see the BBC studios from the experience. So it's nearby.
Gotcha.
It just, you can't go into the studios unless occasionally they'll do TARDIS tours, but if they're filming or anything like that, like you can't, they can't get access. And so anyway, you go in and you go on this adventure with the Doctor, and we walked into the TARDIS and we got to fly the TARDIS. And when I walked in, I legitimately cried. Like, I was trying so hard to hold it in. Because the rest of our group was adults. There were no kids in our group, most of whom were older than us as well. But we walked through the TARDIS doors and into the center, and the console sitting there, and I lost it. Like, I mean, I wasn't sobbing hysterically, but there was a good stream of tears down my face for a few seconds there. And we flew the TARDIS, and then you have to confront the baddies. And she needed volunteers, and I was the first to volunteer. We were in a dead Dalek area, and then I took a time crystal from a Dalek, and then they all came to life, and then we walked into the graveyard and it was weeping angels, and I was legitimately frightened for my life. And it was cool. So then you go on this adventure, you save the world with the Doctor, and then at the end is a like museum exhibit of costumes and props from all the way back to the first Doctor.
Yeah, 50 plus years ago. Yeah.
So it's cool. It's cool to see the progression and all these things, and the progression of the same creatures, like the Cybermen and stuff that have been throughout the series, not necessarily just the new ones. But they have it all the way up through Capaldi with Clara and through Last Christmas with Nick Frost and stuff. So it was really cool. It was really, really fun.
Nice. How did, so, I don't think we did talk about this, but how is it you ended up, or around when did you get into Doctor Who? Because it's been so kind of gradual.
Yeah.
And now there's so much. I mean, granted, we live in a city where there's a lot of geek-oriented stuff available. Yeah. But I mean, even like there's a good, you know, 6-foot section in every Hot Topic nationwide with Doctor Who stuff.
Right.
And I can't exactly figure out when.
In the last few years.
Yeah. I don't know if that happened necessarily with the Matt Smith era, because I was first aware of it during When David Tennant was doing it, when it was just like, oh, it's Doctor Who and it's a British show. And,
yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it definitely exploded when Matt came in and Moffat took over as showrunner.
Right.
It seemed to explode here because, like, they were the first group to come and do Comic Cons and things like that. Like,
oh, right.
Tennant didn't come and do SDCC or anything like that, or New York Comic Con. I got into it. in 2012.
Oh, okay.
I had been aware of it for a while. A few of my friends had started getting into it, and they're like, you should watch this thing, you should watch this thing. And I was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I didn't have anything against it. I just didn't have the time to sit down and watch, even just from Eccleston on.
Right.
At that point, we had, what, 5 seasons?
That's been my reason, too.
and they were full seasons, not typical Sherlock British 3-episode seasons.
Yeah, it's like a 13-episode.
Yeah.
50-minute.
Yeah, they're long episodes. Yeah. And so I didn't really have time to sit down and do that because I was in college and stuff. And finally, my boyfriend at the time, who was one of the people that I knew that was the biggest into it. Like he, our first date, we went to the Renaissance Fair and he cosplayed as Matt with the fez. And I didn't know anything. And looking back, I felt like such an idiot because one of the Renaissance Fair workers was like, oh, are you his companion? And I was like, huh, I don't, because we weren't dating exactly yet. And I was like, I mean, maybe like, one day I will be.
Yeah, like one thing
like what she meant by companion.
Right, what companion means relative to the doctor.
I mean, I
doctor.
Knew he was the doctor. So everyone was like, oh, doctor, doctor. And I was like, okay, haha, yeah.
That must have been a frustrating first date. I don't get it. I don't know what's going on.
It was just like walking around with a celebrity. It was really funny.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it would be like, oh, it's the doctor. It's the doctor. Oh, can we take your picture? Can you take a picture of us?
There's certainly a crossover
like,
in that. Yeah,
I wasn't dressed.
Group.
I was like half dressed in my Ren Fair costume, not even fully because it was hot. But yeah, so finally he sat me down like, and he was like, here, watch this. And I watched, I think, 3 episodes in one night, the first 3 Eccleston episodes. And then it was over summer and I had break 2 weeks before between camp and I watched, I completely caught up in that time. So...
See, that's why I've hesitated. I may have said this before, but that's why I've hesitated starting Doctor Who, because everyone I know is into it is way into it.
Yeah.
And you just being into it for 3 years or, you know, just a heap of tears upon getting in. I'm going to fly the TARDIS.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And I felt so stupid because, like, you know, working at different.
Like, you've been on lots. You've been in
I've been on
productions.
Lots. I've been on, yeah.
Interacted
and, like,
with
I've
people.
I've lived in LA my whole life. I've met so many people, so many celebrities. I've seen so many things, been to so many filming locations and such and Comic-Con and everything, and I don't usually get like that. And then, like, having given tours and stuff, you get those people who come and are crying about this show or that show or this movie, and I'm like, oh, that's, you know, so stupid. Why are you freaking out about this? It's a building.
Right.
And then me, I'm like, oh!
And then you get into something you're into, and you're like, oh, my God!
Yeah. But whatever. It happened. It was fine.
That is funny.
We spent a lot of money to get there, so it was worth it.
I'm sure.
Yeah, no. I mean, we went to Wales for the day, literally just to go do that.
Oh, so you were only in Wales for one day?
Yeah. We took the train in. It was about a 2-hour train ride from London.
That's fascinating to me because you can take trains everywhere in Europe that go everywhere else, and it's a reliable form of transportation,
totally.
Something we know nothing about living here.
Yeah. I mean, I used to take Amtrak, you know, up to Santa Barbara and down to see family in San Diego and stuff all the time, but it's not something you do on a daily basis here. Like people
yeah,
do there.
There, it's a work. It's a legitimate means
there
of
there are so many business
commuting.
People. And because we took the train from Paris to London as well, which was a bit longer. But
You watch it in James Bond movies and it's just like, I'm just going on a train and ending up in Belgium or something. You know,
yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
Wow, that's
I
interesting.
I wish I was on a train like that, though. Like,
oh, well, of course.
You know, a nice, like,
fancy
old, kitschy, like, with your little cabins and whatever.
And then there's a bar car.
But
and then
I
the
guess
dinner
when you're
car.
Only traveling for 2-3 hours at a time, you don't need that. But
yeah, you don't need all the accoutrements that James Bond does.
But they did have Wi-Fi, which was nice. On the train.
There's that.
That was helpful.
That's reason enough to use it.
Yeah.
The buses here have Wi-Fi.
I didn't have cellular data, so sometimes getting in contact with people was a little difficult.
Yeah. No, well, yeah, that's true. You gave me the heads up before you left. You're like, I don't know how in touch I'm going to be because, you know, it's
yeah, and like dealing
different
with everything
service-wise.
With the theater and stuff because I was gone for the build week for the new show and I'm scenic designer now. So
yeah, so they,
I left
you
it
need
all
to...
in their hands. I was like, this is what I need you to do, but good luck.
Yeah.
I don't know how in touch I'll be. And then it happened that, you know, they sent a text to me on Tuesday to make a decision, and I didn't get it till Friday.
Oh, man.
So they made it without me, which was great. They made wonderful choices, and I'm happy with what they chose. But yeah, so it was a little difficult trying to keep in touch with all my work I needed to do back home. And
right.
But, I mean, it was also great to not be so connected.
Yeah, I can imagine.
You know, and I tried really hard to live in the moment. And I think that's why it hit me so much the way it did at both places, because I tried to just be in the moment and let my imagination run wild with it. So it felt like I was really going on an adventure with a doctor. And like, because I want to, who doesn't want to be a companion? I want to be the doctor's companion so badly. Like,
you're set on being the first American companion it happens.
Totally.
With whatever
That's
doctor.
One of my things. Along with, have you read Ready Player One?
I saw you posted that today. Okay. I've been aware of it for ages, but mm-hmm. What I've been following has been everything with the Steven Spielberg movie that's ramping up production.
You need to read that book.
Yeah.
It's
one of those
so
things
good.
That everyone's talking about. Just like, if you have a remote, I think you said the same thing. Like, everyone said, if you have a remote interest in anything pop culture, you need to read this.
Yeah. It is just reference after reference after reference. And I finished the last two chapters today and I was just like, oh. It made me smile. Something
it lived
that happens
up to the hype.
In it. It was a big pop culture reference that I know you will appreciate as well, because I know you like the subject matter.
Stuff, okay.
And I was just so giddy, and I was like, I can't wait to see this as a movie. But reading that book, it was the first time that right away before I even finished it. Actually, I think it's the first time ever reading a book that I've immediately wanted to play a character on film.
Really?
But of course, it's the character that's already cast.
Naturally.
Yeah.
I'm just checking as Lauren's been talking. Everybody, if you are interested in Ready Player One, or if you've read it and want to hear it read by
Will Wheaton. And now I need the audiobook.
audibletrial.com/cape. You can get Ready Player One for free.
I'm going to do that,
do
honestly.
It.
Because
do it. Will Wheaton, who's one of the, he might be on the nerd Mount Rushmore. If
he
there,
might
if there
be,
were one
and
circa
once
2015.
You read the book, it will be even funnier that he, the
that
reason
he's a,
that
yeah.
he's that he's reading it. Because my friend commented on the picture I posted about Ready Player One. He was like, oh, and Will Wheaton does the audiobook. And I was like, that's brilliant. That's so brilliant.
It's 16
so
hours,
to
too,
do
people.
It.
So if you're getting 16 hours of entertainment for free.
But it's so good. And I can't wait for that film. I know it's going to be a while, but
I think it's at least 3 years out.
I'm sure.
I mean, it's one of those two that's going to take a lot. I mean, it's not going to be like
gonna
a tiny production.
It's going to take a while.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm hoping, you know. I mean, she's already cast and I wish no ill will upon her, but maybe schedules conflict and they have to recast. And
or maybe they'll want
an Artemis.
Up-and-comer who's, you know, little on the cheaper side.
That would be okay. Because when I read her, just the description of Artemis, I was like, this is me.
Why don't you adapt it for
this
Loft?
This is me. I feel like legally we probably couldn't do that.
Ah, that's probably true. But, yeah, there's probably some issues with that. It is exactly public domain.
Yeah. That's why we do original works.
You do. Speaking of which, that's a fantastic segue into...
Da-da-da.
Let's talk about Christmas is Dead.
Yeah. It's so funny. It's just so funny.
So you're not in the cast?
I am in the cast.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, kind of. So because I was going to be gone for 2 weeks of the rehearsal process... I came back 2 days before tech week. I'm an understudy, but we get guaranteed performances. So I have 5 performances throughout the 5 weeks. And I play Beth, who is the super overly religious next door neighbor. One of whom.
Wait, are you playing a
Beth
bitch
and
again?
Bernie. No.
Oh, okay.
No. I mean, like, I guess some could see
hey,
that
Lauren,
way,
guess what you're cast as
but
again?
But no.
Okay.
She's very overly religious and
gotcha.
Like,
hails from Mount Pius.
Brings, you know, crucifixes and Bibles to place
oh,
all
that person. The person who helps to ruin Christmas.
Yeah.
Hey, it's what Christmas is about. Anyway.
She and her husband,
I hear people
Bernie.
Yelling at their car stereo right now listening to this.
And you know what? To each his own. But it's just, it's overly. Because it's a comedy. It's a giant dysfunctional family farce.
Mm-hmm.
So you have all the ridiculous characters. You have the crazy next door neighbors. You have the absurd grandma who is a cougar dating this young pop star half her age who is a parody of Justin Timberlake and is the reason I am doing the show because I read the script to get an idea of set stuff before auditions happened. And when he says his name is Justin Lumberpond, I was in tears. I was in tears crying. It's written by April Morrow, who was on the show before, and Alex Freem, who was in Relationship Suck and Hammer of the Witches.
Mm.
And they're both two of the funniest ladies I know, and they co-wrote and co-directed it, and the cast is brilliant. And we have a few people who rotate parts, so whenever you come, it'll be a different cast every time, pretty much.
So go multiple times, in other words.
So that's multiple times.
Yeah, that's what we're saying, everybody.
Theater and loft and all those things. but it is. It's really funny, and it will make you love your dysfunctional family even more once you see how horrible this family is. Because everyone has, you know, those family members or that, you know, the holidays are always a mess and, you know,
and that's
painful
when
to get through, but...
And you end up seeing those family members you wouldn't normally hang out with.
Right.
Because it's
the
holidays.
It's the one time of year and you have to put up with all of it and the craziness. And there's like the goth daughter and then the son who is taking a vow of silence in protest of SeaWorld. And it's so much crazy chaos. But it's a short show. Even with a 15 intermission, it's about an hour and a half.
Oh, okay.
But it doesn't feel that way because it's moving so fast. You're like, oh, it's intermission already? Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. Like, what's going to happen next? Because it's just one thing after the other. And it's so good. And yeah, I don't know. I don't know what else to say. It's just so funny.
Just go see it.
Because I wasn't in it opening weekend, so I watched both nights. Mm-hmm. And even though I've seen the show, you know, umpteen amount of times, and I know the show like the back of my hand, it was still, I was cracking up. Whole night.
Well, it's fun too, and it's one of the things we were saying. I think we were talking about it. We were talking about Relationships Suck, where it's especially when it's a comedy, it's fun to see the way certain jokes land with an audience because sometimes they hit, sometimes they don't. And at the same time, you know, those little performance tweaks could be enough to have somebody else bounce off you in a way. I mean, more so than say for something that's more serious,
right?
Where you're looking for those cues and you're trying to maintain a certain tone. Whereas comedically, there's so many different levels. I'm not trying to compare that to drama, but I just feel like with comedy, there's more room to play because of the nature of it. It's supposed to be lighter.
Totally.
It's supposed to be fun.
Yeah. And that's the thing is that people are still playing and not in the sense that it's going to disrupt the show or change the show, but there's something, some improv lines had never been said before and they were phenomenal. So good. Like, I don't understand how everyone in this cast is so hilariously funny, on point, intuitive. Like, it's amazing.
It's ridiculous. There's a ridiculously and a ridiculous amount of ridiculously talented people in the Loft Ensemble.
Yeah.
Which loftensemble.org, by the way, is where you go for tickets.
Yes.
We'll post that in the Cape feed as well on the Cape social media.
Yeah.
So you all can get tickets. It's running through the end of December?
Through December 20th. We are dark the weekend of Thanksgiving.
So this weekend it's going to be dark.
Yes, this weekend it will be dark. We'll be back up next weekend. But other than that, yeah, every weekend, Saturdays at 8, Sundays at 7, it's $20 down at the Loft. Just one of many exciting projects we have in the works because we're already getting started on the next.
Nice.
We just finished casting. I just came from a production meeting.
Oh, really?
For that, because I'm also producing and in and set designing the next show.
Nice.
So, yeah, another original.
Always something on the docket for you. You're very, very busy.
Yep.
But that's good, though, because you always have something perpetually going.
I had this moment the other day where I was like, I'm in a show right now that I did scenic design on, and I'm in pre-production for the next show, and we're in, like, pre-production for Fringe, because we're taking another show to Fringe next year,
cool.
And I'm producing that as well, so I've got so many hats on, and I worked on costumes a little bit for this show, like... Justin Lumberbond has furry boots, like Santa boots. And so I sewed these like fur cuffs during tech week. I'm just sitting there like watching and sewing these stupid cuffs for him. Cause he's just so ridiculous.
Well, but, young male pop star. That's par for the course.
Yeah.
Especially with ridiculous clothes. Or maybe that's just my old man perception of it. Anything else you want to plug?
I'm trying to think.
Christmas is Dead is the immediate project.
Christmas is Dead project. Is the immediate thing right now. We just came off the Ovation Awards, too.
Oh, right.
The day after I got back, we went to the Ovation Awards because She Kills Monsters, first show I came on for. Our fight choreographer, Mike Mahaffey, and our puppet designer who created Tiamat, Ted Bledgen. I always butcher his last name. they got honors awards at the Ovations for their work on the show.
Nice.
So we went out to support them and, you know, meet people and stuff. So it was our first experience, Loft's first experience with the Ovation Awards.
Nice.
So it was really cool. It's like, we're making baby steps into the big leagues. People finally are starting to kind of know who we are. So maybe one year we'll actually be nominated for awards, but like the company will.
Right.
But I mean, Mikey and Ted totally worked their butts off, and this show would not have been, the show wouldn't have happened without Mikey, to be honest. He's the one who mm-hmm. brought it up and was like, let's do the show, guys.
At the pace you all are producing shows,
yeah.
And there's very few weekends where there isn't a show happening.
Yeah,
at Loft.
No, we,
it's inevitable.
Yeah.
It is. Just the pace and the quality, too. Having seen a bunch of shows there,
yeah,
it's still...
it just keeps getting better and better. And, like, we're at a point where we have enough people that, like, I can step up and be scenic designer. So we now actually have someone to do that job and, like, tech director and, like, all these things. So we're not at a place where it's not just the same 10 people, like, making shows once or twice a year. Like, we're producing at least 6 shows a season. You know, we're getting bigger budgets from it, more audience, you know. So we can create better stuff.
Right.
Like, it's cool. It's exciting. And like, we can go to Fringe next year and stuff. So, yeah, it's really cool. And we can't do that without the support of everyone who comes down to our little tiny theater in downtown LA.
Yeah.
Which is so cool. It was cool, the Ovation Awards. So like, it kind of reboosted all of our spirits, seeing the LA theater community come together, because a lot of people don't realize that we have this community here.
Right.
Like, everyone's like, theater New York, theater London.
Yeah.
But there's a huge LA theater scene that's honestly probably one of the best theater scenes in the entire world.
A lot of actors in this town. It's no surprise. But people are just like, what? You know, because they look at the big, they look at TV and film. Mm. Yeah, exactly.
But a lot of those people do that so that they can do theater.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Oh my God, what show is she on?
But it's also still like a job. Like, for a lot of actors, it's a job to get in a play or to get a recurring character on a one-hour drama or whatever.
I mean,
that's a lot of people do it. Like, that's what it is. It's their job. Yeah. They go from gig to gig. It's not all just like, well, this doesn't fit in with my career arc. No, they want to work.
Yeah.
And same thing with even production people, production designers. It's, you know, if you can get on a series, it'd be great.
Yeah.
But, you know, otherwise, what are you going to do? You still need to put your talents to work somehow. And if it's in theater, it's... you're still doing your job.
Yeah.
It's great. Like, that's the idea. So I think we've said that before, too. Like, I don't know that it's LA's is recognized for theater.
Not
but
at
the
all.
Fact that there are these, that there are awards and that there is greater recognition and that Loft's being included in that recognition.
Yeah. It's really it all exciting. Helps. It's an honor to even just, you know, have our name in the program of the Ovation Awards. So
yeah. Oh, like, that's huge.
It's huge for us. And I'm really excited. I'm really excited with where we are as a company right now. Because I think we're really just starting to take off, and it's exciting to be along for the ride.
It is.
So and it's great like you to said, so many talented people.
Oh yeah. Oh, it's so insane for the number of shows I've seen there, and the. It's not like it's the same cast and different. You know, it's not like a Monty Python sketch where it's every. You know, it's like the same 6 people in every show, just play different characters.
There are a few of us that are like involved in every show, but that's because we're stupid, like dorky theater rats who just can't not be there.
But it's not like the same couple of principal actors in every single play that comes through. There's a whole
big parts or tiny parts or designing
a huge rotation, and not every actor is going to be on stage. They'll be doing set design and costuming, like you do.
Because we all do everything there, but
right.
And I get to call these amazingly talented people my friends, which is
which is even better.
All.
Getting to work with them is like getting to work with your friends, totally.
Yeah. And like as we move on and stuff, you know, as we start filming our own things and working on different projects with other people, like I have this massive base of talented people that I can just pluck from.
Yeah, exactly. You have this pool.
Yeah,
this circle.
It's like, oh, I
want to
make this thing happen. Oh, I have all these people that I can call on to do this. Cool. That's easy.
Yeah.
Now I can focus on other things.
Yeah, that's been exactly my thing too. It's just like surround yourself with people who bring skills you don't have into it, and then you can get your stuff done. It'll be that much better for it.
Yeah, totally.
All right, so you can be found online at on Twitter.
Yes.
At @MissPixie_.
That is correct. I'm on the tweets. I'm bad at it.
There's no right way to use Twitter, don't worry about it.
I know. I just like I don't update it very often. Because I used to be, when I first had Twitter, I was one of those, like, every moment, every thought goes on Twitter. And then I was like, this is dumb. I'm going away.
This is too much. And you quit. And I'm one of the people who was harassing you for not being on Twitter. And I was like, what? Yeah.
But I'm back. I update every once in a while. I'll try to be better about updating about shows and projects and things, especially. But, yeah.
So follow Lauren.
Follow me on Twitter.
And visit loftensemble.org, of course, for all announcements, all things going on, and for tickets to Christmas is Dead. Feel free to tweet Lauren if you want to know what date she's going to be performing. If you want to see her, you can drop in, say hi to her.
Yeah.
Everyone at Loft is super friendly about hanging out after the show.
Yeah, totally.
Which is great.
Come say hi.
So yeah, come and say hi. Grab your tickets. I'll be seeing the show naturally when you're in it in the coming weeks because it's playing while I'm still going to be in California. So that's good.
Ooh.
I fly home on the 21st, so that'll be great.
Perfect.
And, of course, follow this show at Cape Pod on Twitter and Instagram and Tumblr. And follow me at Chris Abalo on Twitter and at Chris Sells Out on Instagram. Please like the show on Facebook. Once again, subscribe on iTunes. If you're not getting the recent shows, find the show on iTunes and just unsubscribe or resubscribe again. I know some people have been having problems with that, but unsubscribe, resubscribe. And you should get all the episodes up to and including this one. And, of course, tell a friend. Visit the sponsors at supporttheshow@chrisabal.com. My Essential Guide to Holiday Viewing is featured on the homepage and in the blog section at chrisabal.com. So if you want to know what I think you should be watching this holiday season, movies, TV specials, everything, which is, as we said, everything's easily accessed now.
Including Doctor Who Christmas special.
There are many Doctor Christmas specials. And another one coming soon. But, be sure to check that out if you want some cool and fun suggestions for stuff to watch during the holiday season. And follow the show. Follow me. Follow Lauren. It's good for you. And get Ready Player One at audibletrial.com/cape. Get the book and support Will Wheaton. And until next time, for Lauren Sperling, this is Chris Abalo, and this was yet another experiment.